Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, please. Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25 in the last verse. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus in verse number 46, Matthew 25 and verse number 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. I want to read that with you or to you again. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. You wouldn't have to divide the verse or look at it too long to realize that there are two classes in this verse. There are people that are described as these, and there are people that are called the righteous. Nobody in the world is born righteous. We are born alienated from God. We are born disobedient. We are born children of wrath, even as others. And it is not until a person is saved, as you've been hearing, they become righteous. I've often wondered reading this. It's interesting just to go, something I've done lately, just to go through the Bible and notice the last verses of various chapters in our authorized version as we have it. But some of them are very, very interesting. This is one of the most solemn ones. One of the most solemn ones. It brings you and I right up to the terminal or the terminus of life itself. And he's making a very clear statement that people are going to go away. We are not here forever. Men would like to think that they are and are going to be, but they are going to go away. I don't know anybody that really likes going away. Yeah, maybe a trip or a cruise or something you've been anticipating, and they wait for that moment when they're going to leave and going to go. But there's something about coming home when you've got a home to go to. It's a happy home. There's nothing better when that day, that moment comes, and you say, yes, this is the day. And we're leaving and we're going home. Let me ask you today, where are you going? First of all, let's just go back and look at the people that are called these. They're not just statistics. They're not these things that the Bible often refers to. It's not the stuff that the Bible, again, the Lord Jesus said, who shall these things be in Luke's Gospel chapter 12? And the word there is stuff. Articles, things that we collect in life. These are human beings. These are individuals, just like you and me. They have their struggles in life, like we have. They have their battles. They do business. They have their happier days, and they have days that are not so happy. But nevertheless, they are going away. And the Lord makes one definite statement here, is that these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Doesn't say they weren't trustworthy. Doesn't say they weren't good neighbors. Doesn't say they weren't commendable people. Doesn't say they didn't have honorable characteristics or traits about them. But they are going away into everlasting punishment. It'd be one thing to go for punishment, and there would be a time when that would terminate. So much time that a person had to put in, and finally it's over. I mean, that's something that no preacher, no evangelist, no Sunday school teacher, nobody in this meeting or any other meeting, nobody on planet Earth tonight can comprehend the eternal. I mean, I think of it, I don't know whether it's just because you're getting older or not, but think, fellas, I went to school with. And now and then I get emails from people back home, and they tell me so-and-so that rode our bus, or that went to high school when I did, or worked where I did, or we did business with, their God. They're gone. What's it say? These shall go away. They'll leave. Into everlasting punishment. It's interesting, you know, when you read Luke's Gospel chapter 16, that man that went away into everlasting punishment is still there. He does not ask the question, why am I here? Never asked that question. He knew. He knew. As I often say from gospel platforms, and will always say it, God doesn't send people to hell. They go there themselves because of a choice they've made in life. And God doesn't really send people to heaven. He takes them as the great shepherd. He crosses or brooks that Jordan when it comes to it. He actually does that. These shall go away into everlasting punishment because of their own choice. Notice it doesn't say these will go away. It has nothing to do with their will now. That was the last gospel reading. That's when they could have done something about it. That's why the Lord Jesus says you will not come. He doesn't say you cannot come. He says you will not come that you might have life. In other words, just think of the impact of it. These shall go away. No choice. No choice. Into everlasting punishment. Sometimes when you're on the highway, you'll see large containers on transports. It'll say Hapag-Lloyd and Company. Well, that company's changed hands. It was owned by a UK firm and out of London. And then, of course, it came into an American firm here in the United States. But you'll still see Hapag-Lloyd. That container company originated with a large shipping company called the SS Hapag. And that came out of Hamburg, Germany. One of the first vessels that had ever sailed was in 1939. It sailed one that was called the SS St. Louis. It was parked in Hamburg, Germany. Now this was, of course, under the Nazi regime when there were Jewish people being persecuted wanting to flee a terrible persecution of a Nazi world. And people that had gathered their money together, friends that did it for families, bought them a one-way voyage on that vessel. And it was to sail to Cuba. Not that I'm a movie goer or read much about movies, but there was a movie, very, very popular movie a number of years ago called The Voyage of the Damned. It was based on what I'm telling you about. These unsuspecting Jewish people boarded that vessel with hopes of a better life. Anything was better than the terrorism under a Hitler regime. And they boarded that vessel under the captain by the name of Schroeder. And pretty soon the bell sounded. That vessel full of people pushed away from the dock, heading for a better life, so they hoped. They had paid their money. They paid big money. Well, you pay your way, don't you? When they came into Cuban waters, a message was sent out to them. We don't want you. Please do not come into our waters. Stay in international waters. We don't want you. At this point in time, they're running low on food. And the captain made a decision on his own that he would then turn and go to the United States of America, knowing that they often took in refugees and people that were in such dire straits. But in 1939, the Americans couldn't handle them either. They left international waters and they came into the U.S. coastline to be met by the Coast Guard to again be turned back. That big vessel turned around as she headed back for Europe. That voyage back, people died. They didn't have enough food. People died for other sicknesses that were on board. Going back, nobody wanted them. No country would take them. When they went back there, after they spent all, most of them died under Nazi Germany's rule. The voyage of the damned. What voyage you on tonight? These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Is it possible that I'm standing on this platform, you're sitting in these chairs, and you tonight are on the voyage of the damned? You paid your way, and you're paying your way. And eventually there's no coming back for you. You've set your sail into international waters leading what could have been a life of righteousness, a life of knowing Christ as your Savior. C.S. Lewis, whose writings I read periodically, likely quite a bit, some things I would agree with C.S. Lewis, but nevertheless a very, very brilliant man. He made some statements that are certainly worth quoting and remembering. Here's what he said. He says, you know, the only safe place outside of heaven, the only safe place to get away from the love and the kindness of God is hell itself. In other words, in life, that kindness traces and tracks your every step, speaks to you, warns you. You say no. You're on a voyage that you think is taking you to a better country, to a better land, and you're not going to make it. The voyage of the damned. You know, if you were to go back to the beginning of this chapter 25, I'm noticing a light It's interesting that when it comes to the about return, whether it was Moses coming down after giving the law, notice what's happening down there. People are committing all kinds of sin. Making idol, a calf, and worshiping and dancing and playing. And these are people that are God's people. These are people who should have known better. And here's Moses up in the mountain getting the message for them of the law of God. Here's what's happening down here. Go to the mount of transfiguration, and the disciples are up there with the Lord. When they come down, who do they find? A maniac. A man that's deranged in his thinking. A man that we see too much of in this modern world of ours. Look at the scene that's below. Matthew chapter 25, there's five, they're called 10 virgins. They're really 10 clean living people. It's not talking about genders here. Okay? Five are wise, five are foolish. It says they all slumbered and slept. You know, I think I have to have a wake-up call almost every day. That the people that I rub shoulders with, the people I speak to, they're the voice of the damned. Is it possible that that girl that I speak to at the bank is going to be in hell? The hardware where I go to do business, people I speak to, do I really believe that? I have relatives tonight that are not saved. And they have no time for the gospel, no interest in it. Do I realize they're on this voyage? These shall go away into everlasting punishment. As Trevor's reminded us, death is a very solemn thing. We go tonight, we were at the Waukesha Conference in Wisconsin. Waukesha is just outside of Milwaukee, 25 miles to be exact. We stayed with a lovely young couple, Stephen and Jennifer Moffat. Stephen works in a company there. They're in a fairly large company in the production of labels and advertising things. And he had a co-worker, nice fella, 31 years of age. And life was good. He was a Christian. Same fella. They used to talk about, used to share things. And they became very close friends. Late last year, November, December, Carl wasn't feeling so well. Went to the doctor, and just to make a long story short, cancer took him out, and Stephen and Jennifer couldn't be at the conference on Sunday afternoon, because that was the afternoon of the funeral. You know, he was so strong right up to the end. Stephen told me, went to visit him in the hospital. He says, on Sunday afternoon a week ago. He says, oh, Stephen, my friend. He says, I'm not the doctor. A week at the most, I'm gone. Stephen, I looked at him. You know, he says, is Carl going to be gone in a week? I have to confess to you that I never really believed that Peter Orszag would ever die. I just thought somehow he's going to make it. Peter had come through so much. Finally, I had to resign myself. Peter Orszag was going to die. And Peter did die. And Stephen said, as I stood there in that room, I thought, what does it matter now? What does it matter about the promotion Carl missed? What did it matter whether he lived in what kind of a house here in Waukesha? What did it matter? The little two-year-old boy that so desperately needed a dad, he still loved his little boy. Such a testimony in the hospital. And a week to the day, he died. Sorry, it was on the Friday, because he was buried on Sunday. He died actually on the Friday. It was a Friday afternoon that Stephen had gone to visit him. And he'd gone to the funeral, we were there. When he came back to the funeral, he said, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. Listen, he said, hey, here's what he quoted. Somehow he's going to make it. Peter had come through so much. Finally, I had to resign myself. Peter Orszag was going to die. And Peter did die. And Stephen said, as I stood there in that room, I thought, what does it matter now? What does it matter about the promotion Carl missed? What did it matter whether he lived in what kind of a house here in Waukesha? What did it matter? The little two-year-old boy that so desperately needed a dad, he still loved his little boy. Such a testimony in the hospital. And a week to the day, he died. Sorry, it was on the Friday, because he was buried on Sunday. He died actually on the Friday. It was a Friday afternoon that Stephen had gone to visit him. And he'd gone to the funeral, we were there. When he came back to the funeral, he said, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. Listen, he said, hey, here's what he quoted. He said, I did not expect them to get up and preach like we do at the gospel hall or on a Sunday night. But he said, that man got up there with almost the assumption, well, you know, yeah, we're all going to have it. We're eventually all going to be saved. And there's no definite defining line about the saved or the righteous or the unrighteous. the saved or the lost. There was none of that. And he said, I came home from that funeral of my friend frustrated. He said, you know what it gave me an appreciation for? The gospel I've listened to, the gospel I've heard. This is a young man that was raised in the north of Ireland in Dromore. And came across this country. On his honeymoon, thought he was saved. He sat in the gospel meeting that Jim Fraser, I think it was Art Ward, were having in Wisconsin. And got saved. A fine fella. It's real to him. We as Christians, we need to wake up sometimes. We don't realize, hey, my next door neighbor, he's not going to make it. Not going to be in heaven. That aunt of mine, that uncle, whoever it might be, that person I work right beside, I'm so accountable to them. Or do we want to take the German attitude? They're just bodies. They're just human beings we don't need. Put them on that ship. The German authorities knew they weren't going to make it. The Germans knew these people are not going to make it into Cuba. They sent them anyway. They just wanted to send them away. They had paid. And what's the verse say? These shall go away into punishment would be bad, but everlasting punishment. You see, it has to counter, friend. For me to have everlasting life, there has to be everlasting punishment. If there isn't everlasting punishment, I could never have the everlasting life. If I couldn't have eternal on one side, I can't have eternal on the other. If the wages of sin is not death, then there's no gift of God that is eternal life. In other words, God works in complete harmony and balance with his word. But he goes on further than that. You know, you think about going away. You know, I got to admit, last Monday morning, finally, that day come. And you say, yes, it's eastbound. Homeward bound. And you know, you're just so glad when you start heading in the direction of home. Every sign that says so many miles and then in Canada kilometers, you look at that GPS and it seems so slow at some time, but it's going in the right direction. What direction are you going tonight? This is your GPS. This is God's word, friend. What's it say? And these. Any of these in the meeting tonight? That are going to go away into everlasting punishment. The man that missed it, you know, he never asked, why is Lazarus in heaven? Why am I here? Why is Lazarus in heaven? Never asked that question. I'm reminded of a story I just got too long ago. It was a man that was concerned about his soul wanting to be saved. His friend lent him a book. And it was something like a God's way of salvation. But initialed on each page was three letters, YBH. And when the friend got the book back, he flipped to the page and said, YBH? YBH? The man had died. As far as he knew, he'd never gotten saved. One day at work, it dawned on what it might be. YBH. Yes, but how? Yes, but how? Isn't that what Nicodemus asked long ago when the Lord Jesus spoke to him? How can a man be born when he's old? He doesn't say why. He says, how? How can I have it? How can you become among the righteous tonight? You know as well as I do. How can I be assured to be in the latter part of this verse? The righteous and the life eternal. How can I be sure of that? By the same word that would condemn you is the word that justifies you. The same word that tells you why you can't go tells you how you can go. How can you go? By coming to him. By trusting the one who said, I'm the way. Not on the voyage of the damned. The way to life and liberty and life everlasting. He said, the same one who said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The man, Luke 16, that found himself among those that are in everlasting punishment, never asked, will I ever get out of here? Isn't that amazing? Never questions the judgment that he has received. You know, I'm convinced from the Word of God that people that are literally, I hate to say it, the words that are used are strong words we do not repeat from a public platform, that they're flung away. They're cast away from that great white throne of judgment. Not one of them will ever question, why am I here? Why am I here? I sometimes think that it'll be a source of worship for all eternity. To be in heaven and say, why am I here?
Why me?
I mean, I do that sitting remembering the Lord on a Sunday morning. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm third generation, almost a fourth generation Christian, so to speak. And I think, why me? I go into that world and see the darkness that prevails. And I think, why is I ever saved? Why me? And that why produces worship to God. You know, that man that missed his way, Luke chapter 16. The very man that does not say, why am I here? Does not ask, why is Lazarus in heaven? Does not ask, when is this torment going to end? Does not ask, when am I going to get out? This man never asked for justice. You know why? Never asked for the plan of salvation either. Never would come in like that jailer of old and say, what must I do to be saved? Why is the man burst out with that question? Because he did not want to be in the first class. These shall go away. Your everlasting punishment. Awful thing. When there's no need of it. There's no reason for it. Didn't have to happen. That's the sad part of it. Because there are people out there you meet in life, and there's some pretty tough customers out there. I meet some pretty rough boys in my day. And like I say, I just go from their houses, I go from their homes, I go from a scene. I somehow can see how God will judge them. They're standing there cursing and swearing. I rebuke them all the time. Some of them will do it worse. They don't like it. They like nothing that smacks of righteousness. Somehow I can visualize those men have to be punished. But what about the person that can be my neighbor? That's a nice person that will live a life. Sometimes it's better than professing Christians. What about him? How do I reconcile that in my thinking? When I can talk to him about this and that and everything else, as soon as I bring up the name of Christ, it's over. Close conversation. That's a book he doesn't open. That's a chapter he doesn't read. That's a direction he's not interested in. But he's got to die. And so are you. Every one of us tonight, bound for one or two places. Well, I hope it speaks to me as much as it continues to speak to me. It will speak to you as much as it spoke to me. These shall go away in everlasting punishment. That lady that sat beside me in the plane on the way to Vancouver. Man that sat the other side of the way back. That person at the desk. Whoever it might be. Who are they? One or two classes. God help us. All of us tonight. Maybe that's why this chapter opens. All slumbering and sleeping. The ones that were wise didn't even know how to tell other ones how to get saved. They should go buy for yourselves. You can't buy salvation. They were so far away from it. And sometimes we can get so far away from it. We need a wake-up call. We need to be brought back to reality. That we're not here forever. Hey, you know, I've got to admit to you, I woke up one day in Iowa. My mother's grave isn't too far from where I was staying there, Mike and Diane Van Mills. I thought, well, if I go up the age of my mother, I've got 13 years. 13 years. I started thinking back 13 years. She's going on 10. But that doesn't take long to go. 13 years. A lot of people would have thought my mother died an old woman, but she didn't. But she's gone. I'm going to be gone. And you're going to be gone. And we're all going to be gone. You might not be Stephen Moffat's co-worker. You might have sailed past 31 or 32 years of age. You maybe raised your family. You've seen them grow. But these shall go away. Because the Lord Jesus said it. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. You make sure you're not on this voyage. You make sure that you're not numbered among the these. I'm not sure in England, but I know in a lot of the UK, especially in the north of Ireland, they have an expression. I remember Sidney Scott used to use a lot. People were sick. Something I visited when I was there, and he'd come to me and say, Murray said, so-and-so, he's away. I remember asking him, I said, wait, where'd he go? Oh, you just mean he died. He's away. He's gone. I presume we're all going to be away. Oh, the horror of it. Sitting in the last gospel meeting. Some gospel meeting will be here last. I mean, you can call it preacher ploy, you can call it preacher tactics, you can call it whatever you like. Doesn't change the fact. Doesn't change the fact. That you and I fight to keep out of the obituaries. But we are bound for eternity. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, It doesn't seem easy. It doesn't seem soft. The righteous unto life eternal. Born that way? Can't be. Given the righteousness, I don't believe the Bible teaches that I have the righteousness of God or the righteousness of Christ. He is that which is uniquely His. But I have been made righteous. That means to be right with God. It means to be saved. It means to be born again. It means to be converted. Three expressions used almost for the same thing. It says, where are they going? Life eternal. Life eternal. You know, what's that like? You know how much I know about life eternal? As much as I knew about this life before I was born. You go to a young kid and say, here's what life is like. You know, I had to experience it to try and realize it. I still don't understand it. I read a medical thing not too long ago, and they're trying to figure out death. One doctor said, he was one of the top doctors in the United States out of Rochester, the Mayo Clinic. He said, we don't even understand birth. He said, what are we talking about death? He says, these are the two ends of life, he said. The start of it and the end of it. He said, all we try to figure out is what's in between. He said, really, we can't comprehend this end. We can't comprehend that end. Do you know why? They belong to God. Okay? You being here is none of your doing. You're dying. A man can go before his time. Yes. Cannot go beyond it. The Bible says the wicked and the ungodly shall not live out half their days. The Bible says, ask the question. Remember the man asked that question in the Old Testament. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Person gets decides he's going to go sit down in the middle of the highway. Yeah, he can go before his time, but he can't go beyond it. The Bible says there's a point in a man wants to die after this, the judgment. So I think just this verse, I want you to consider it. I want everybody to think about it tonight. Think about it in view of your home. Think about it in view of whoever, your neighbor, your boss, the man you work beside, your daughter, your boy, your sister, your brother, whoever it might be, your cousins. Which I can't be preaching to them all the time. None of us do. None of us do. These shall go away. They're going to go away too. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous unto life eternal, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow and thank Thee for Thy grace that has saved any of us tonight. Not one of us deserved it. And we confess before Thee, O God, tonight that if there's more reality of this in our lives, maybe we see more in the lives of those that are going away into everlasting punishment. Father, forbid it that any that we have come to know and love and that are so close to us, they're our family, Lord. They're an extension of our family, even though they're not blood relatives. There's a spiritual link, not because they are saved, but simply because of those that they know and are linked to that are saved, that links us to them tonight. And they're not ready to go. Oh, that they would be made righteous and made right with God by coming to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the true righteous one, coming to know Him as their Savior, leaving the voyage of the damned, coming to the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Bless Thy word. Thank Thee for it. Thank Thee, our Father, for one man, the man Christ Jesus, who by His coming into the world and by His death have made many righteous. The first man that brought sin with all this judgment. Our God, we thank Thee for the deliverance that we have through faith in Christ. We give thanks tonight for being saved. Wonderful thing to be saved. Lord, we appreciate it. It's wonderful just to sit here this morning and remember the Lord Jesus and offer our thanksgiving in the midst of a dark world that wants nothing to do with God. We give thanks in His name. Amen. And I hardly need to remind you of the gospel meeting every Sunday night, to which you are heartily invited. Number 349 will be our closing song, 349. And notice what this hymn writer says, until I heard of Jesus' love, a sinner, Lord, was I. I had no thought of things above. Notice what he says, it's true of every man, woman, no matter what they say, I was afraid to die. Verse 2, but when I saw Thee on the cross all wounded there for me, my very heart I thought would break. I felt I must love Thee. Number 349.